This is Glenn Helzer with World of Radio, number 1259. Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily shortwave. On this edition, recorded January 5th, Tsunami Roundup, VOA Frequency News, New QSLs for 2005, Brother Stare back in court, Brazilian and African reactivations and new frequencies, a Kurdish mystery, inauguration protest station, and the propagation outlook. Standard disclaimer. First, about World of Radio, there have been some time changes on WBCQ. We've been filling in an open slot Monday through Thursday at 22 UT on 9330. But now that's been turned over to Gene Shepard, some old-time radio programs. Furthermore, we're no longer heard Saturdays at 2130 UT, on 17495. The remaining times on WBCQ are Wednesdays at 23 on 7415, UT Thursdays at midnight on 17495, UT Sundays and Mondays at 0400 on 9330, and Mondays at 0530 on 7415. There's been a tremendous amount of news about the earthquake, tsunami, and its aftermath in South Asia. As always, I can only mention a few high points here, but refer you to DX Listening Digest at worldofradio.com if you'd like to read all about it. Several of the countries hit had already been subject to human-inspired strife, and that mixes in with the earthquake and tsunami situation. The Maldive Islands, for instance, Jeff White of WRMI tells us that the Radio Minivan producers, who had been only doing a new show every few days or maybe once a week, started doing a new one-hour program every day because of the tsunami crisis. They say that Radio Minivan is one of the few ways of getting info to the people in the outlying islands. The schedule is 16 to 17 UT on 11810 via Germany, and also they have audio archives on their website. Although the Maldive Islands were pretty much overlooked at the outset, news began emerging later, and attention to them. Jim Renfrewith refers this to a Democracy Now! Broadcast. Amy Goodman was interviewing someone from the Maldives and the Sri Lankan ambassador to the UN, Bernard Gunatilaka. We only wonder if he's any relation to the DXer Victor Gunatilaka, about whom more in a moment. We'll include a link to that Democracy Now! Broadcast. Another Sri Lankan DXer from years ago, Sarat Virakun, has been living in the Maldive Islands, where he manages a bank, and Wolfgang Büschel has remained in contact with him. He was glad to hear that he was able to survive the tsunami, going to a higher floor of the building. Alokesh Gupta in India quickly informed us that Victor Gunatilaka was okay by contacting one of his VOA monitoring colleagues. Later on, Victor Gunatilaka circulated some email messages informing us that none of his family or close friends were killed, though the death toll was rising. He's also president of the Amateur Radio Society in Sri Lanka, and of course immediately went into action, establishing communications. In many cases, shortwave was the only means of communicating with other media wiped out. Sri Lanka is home to several powerful shortwave relay stations, notably Deutsche Welle's at Trincomalee on the northeast coast, where it might have been hit by the tsunami. However, Wolfgang Büschel monitored some of their scheduled frequencies a few hours later and found them still going. Later, Kim Elliott heard from someone at Deutsche Welle in Germany about the Trincomalee relay. It's a bit inland and was not damaged, although at the time they weren't sure if all the people working there were okay. However, on January 5th, the Italian DXer Andrea Bonigno, who was already visiting India, reported to BCL News that there was no signal at all from the medium wave relay at Trincomalee of Deutsche Welle on 1548. How about monitoring SLBC itself? Scott Barber in New Hampshire was hearing 9770, December 28th, opening at 1227 UT, but weaker than usual. Not sure if they were running at reduced power. I checked the SLBC website and found they had links about aid and to live audio from two of their services. One of them is called City FM, and although the name is in English, it seems it's broadcasting in Sinhala. Not sure if there are any English segments, nor on the Tamil service, but if you want to take a look, it's www.slbc.lk. In the Benelux DX Club, Max van Arnhem also found a website at All India Radio dealing with the tsunami. It's allindiaradio.org/tsunami with a capital T dot htm. DXers and DX organizations have been prompting people to contribute aid. One of them is Christoph Rotzer, the ADX group in Austria. It's www.a-dx.com. Of course, DX listeners immediately tried to hear known shortwave stations in the area. The hardest hit Sindh City in India, Chennai, is on 4920. That was heard by Roberto Pavanella in Italy at 1650 UT with funereal sitar music on December 29th. However, there didn't seem to be national mourning going on. I checked the far out of band frequency of All India Radio, 10330, on New Year's Eve, and they had a comedy program at 1439. I also monitored for the arrival of the new year in India at 1830 UT on 9425, but nothing special was done, just a time signal and into the usual news in English. In the Benelux TX Club, Max van Arnhem reminds us of Kodar. Those ocean wave radars, which are so annoying with their swish, swish, swish sounds on various shortwave frequencies, but they are to detect ocean waves. This might well have helped warn of the tsunami if they'd been functioning in South Asia. Amateur radio, of course, suddenly became a vital and often only means of communication, and this was covered in great detail by www.arrl.org. There was a question about whether third-party traffic would be allowed, and the answer was that in an emergency, the FCC waives the rules preventing it in certain countries. However, other countries also need to do that. But then there was so much health and welfare traffic, people inquiring about their relatives, that the ARRL concluded there was no way it could all be handled, just not enough hams in the affected areas. Thanks to John Norfolk and Mike Terry for passing on some of that. There is an All India Radio station which has been quite a DX target on the Andaman and Nicobar Islands, closest to the epicenter, Port Blair on 4760. Yari Savalainen reported that on December 28th, it continued on the air past its normal close-down time, taking phone calls and giving contact numbers. It finally closed at 1835. It so happened there was a de-expedition already in progress in the Andaman Islands, and they quickly turned to disaster communications instead. There have been several stories about this in the press in the U.S. and elsewhere. Some of the affected countries were not so cooperative, notably Myanmar or Burma, which would not allow the press in, so we're still wondering how severe the damage was there. And some stations with international broadcasts failed to report on it at all. We can't understand why. Roberto Pavanello reported listening to Radio Thailand on December 27th in French at 2015 UT on 9535 with no mention of the tsunami. Furthermore, the Voice of Indonesia as late as December 29th, their Spanish broadcast, monitored by Alan Gonzalez in Venezuela at 1708 on 15150, had not one word about the disaster. Could it have been a newscast pre-recorded several days earlier? En route to Radio 1258, I remarked about the letters KVTO being associated with Sound of Hope, that clandestine on shortwave for China. Actually, that is a U.S. call sign. Apparently, the station in Berkeley, California, where the program originates, on 1400. There's been a sudden change of frequency by the megawatt relay of Voice of America in Poro, Philippines. Been on 1143 kilohertz for many years, although it has done some tests on nearby frequencies. But now, as of January 1st, it's made a permanent change to 1170. thus ending a split DX frequency for those of us in the Western Hemisphere. No doubt that's to avoid interference primarily from China, but I'm sure they will put some other station on 1170 to block it. Bruce Portzer in Washington points out in the Medium Wave DX group that there's already a 500 kilowatt South Korean station on 1170, which is likely to interfere as well and make it difficult to hear in other parts of the world. Nevertheless, in Denmark, Stig Harfi Nielsen reports to MWC hearing the new 1170 frequency, at first blocked by a Russian-speaking station, but in the clear after 1600 UT, and signing off at 1700. That was mentioned on Talk to America December 31st when Kim Andrew Elliott was appearing. Yes, December 31st, not January 1st. I unfortunately had erroneous info for the previous World of Radio. I hope most of you found out that it was to be a day earlier than I had said. If you missed it, the show is archived at www.mediazoo.co.uk and probably by now also at the Talk to America website at VOA News. Once again, we have to depend on the Pakistan Daily Times for news about VOA relays in that country, thanks to RadioIntel.com. A story January 1st said VOA programs went off the air that day from all eight stations of FM 101 as the contract between VOA and the state-owned network, leased to a private company, was mysteriously canceled 6 months before it was to expire. Bertrand Down Lithuania tells us that a name change is in the offing for Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, where Europe is no longer a priority target. It's expected sometime this year to be renamed under the new label Radio Liberty International. Eric Zhou in China tells us that Radio Free Asia is starting releasing a new QSL card commemorating 2005 as the year of the rooster. For all reception reports since January 1st, it's their fourth QSL card in use for at least 2 months. Amateur Radio Newsline reports via John Norfolk that the voice of WWV has passed away. His name was Marty Edwards, a newscaster who also recorded all those time checks. Presumably, we'll be hearing his voice for a long time more. Peter Q. George points out he has a WWV and WWVH appreciation site. It's www.geocities.com/radio-junkie-3. Meanwhile, just like phone booths, time check services over the phone are going out of fashion. Mike Cooper forwards a story from the Tennessean in Nashville that the one sponsored by WSIX-FM is no longer available there. And also in Flint, Michigan, the local time service has stopped, which had been sponsored by SBC. Thanks to RadioIntel.com for that. And thanks to Mike Barraclough of the World DX Club, who's been keeping a closer watch on www.thenetteam.net than I have. That's the website of critics of Brother Stair. This is over a month old, but the first we had heard, a story from the local Walterboro newspaper, the Colleton County Press and Standard, of November 29th. On that date, Brother Stair, accused of sexual and financial crimes, pleaded guilty to assault and battery after more than 2 years since being charged. With more than 100 of his supporters watching at the courthouse, he admitted to unlawfully touching two of his former female followers, a lesser offense reduced from the initial charge of assault and battery of a high and aggravated nature. The judge said that Stair will do no additional time since he already served 30 days in the county detention center. As part of a plea agreement, the criminal sexual conduct charges will be dropped, but his time in court for the breach of trust charges is yet to come, as is the court date for misdemeanor charges. Nearly a dozen civil case accusations varying from wrongful death to financial wrongdoing are also pending against Stair. Currently, these are in the pleading and motion stage with no trial date set. Standard disclaimer, the media magazine you monitor with your mind, World Radio, number 1259. Our address, WORADIO@yahoo.com, or P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702, USA. Thanks this week for financial support via PayPal. Go to Stephen Zimmerman in Milwaukee. There are some exotic indigenous stations to be heard from Mexico on medium wave if you're lucky and not too far away. Here's one reported to the National Radio Club by John Hart in San Francisco on 700 kilohertz, XEETCH. A rather unpleasant call sign, but the ETCH stands for the town in Sonora where it's located, Echojoa, also known as La Voz de los Tres Rios. From sign on at 1300, sometimes later until fade out around 1420. He says there is some Spanish, but they also announce Iñaki, Mayo, Guajiro, and play traditional indigenous music, mostly flute, drum, and violin. There are three different tribes involved. There are already too many Latin American stations on 6010, but now another has reactivated. Radio Inconfidencia in Belo Horizonte, Brazil, reported January 4th. By Celio Romais on the Radio Escutas list at 0455 with an excellent signal. There's also been a discussion on the same list about a report from Uruguay that Radio Guayiba in Porto Alegre had been heard on 6720. I calculated that that must be a mixing product between their shortwave frequency of 6000 and their medium wave 720. Some people felt the station was far too professional for that ever to happen. They were also reported on 6020 instead of 6,000 kilohertz by Alfredo Locatelli at 0730. Now, one of these may have been a typo, we're not sure, but someone else confirmed hearing the station on 6720, Sergio PY3BAM, with a 40 over 9 signal. Meanwhile, some other Brazilians have been reactivated quite a while, I think, since there's been any station on the 19-meter band. But Celio Romais, January 1st, heard Radio Gazeta in São Paulo back on 15325 at 1837 UT. Unfortunately, despite its name, it's now relaying religious programming from the Canção Nova network. Over to Africa, the Western Sahara clandestine on 7460 had been missing for a few weeks, but it's reported back on the air by Steve Witt in the UK, Medium Wave Circle, who is also hearing their 1550 channel in parallel at 2335 UT on Xmas Day. During that hour, they were in Spanish, also reported by Mark Cody in Ontario as early as 2108 when they were in Arabic. However, in Germany, Wolfgang Büschel says after 2100, there is interference from Radio Free Asia Korean plus jamming. But he does also hear RASD actually transmitting from Algeria in the morning at 0715. Bamako, Mali, has been varying around the 60-meter band between 4783 and 4787. However, on one occasion, Eric Cordier in France was hearing them on two frequencies at once, 4784 and 4787. That was January 3rd from 2030 to 2210 with the same program. So we can only assume the other frequency, 4835, which has been missing, must have moved to one of those. NBCDX, Finn Krona in Denmark, reports hearing an English newscast from Paraku, Benin, on 5025. Sunday, January 2nd at 2035 UT, but he says it was heavily jammed. In DXing.info, Jarmo Patola in Finland reports hearing the international service of the Voice of Nigeria on 7275 instead of the usual 7255 at 1700 UT with news in English. December 27th. Central African Republic has appeared on the 31-meter band. Dave Kenny and the British DX Club heard them December 24th on 9590. That's Radio Centrafrique in Bangui, all the way from 1705 to 2300 UT, much stronger than before during the final hour. Stephen Lehrer in Michigan checked it the next day and found the audio kept cutting in and out. When it was on, it was quite good, but only lasting 10 to 30 seconds. Subsequently, this was also reported by many DX listeners in Europe and the Americas. Seems unlikely Central African Republic would have a brand new transmitter of its own. They'd been off the air for some time on the 60-meter band. So could it be a relay? When I checked December 27th around 2100, I compared it to Africa No. 1 Gabon on 9580 right next to it. Although CAR on 9590 sounded stronger, that was due to modulation, as 9580 Gabon measured stronger on the meter. The fading rate was similar. I'm wondering if it is relayed from Gabon or from France. Will the International Listening Guide and Vlad Titarov, BCDX, say according to HFCC that transmission is in fact from the 500 kilowatt site in Issoudun, France? Christian Givaudo agrees in Pleiadix, saying there's been an agreement with the French government. The opposition station, Radio Ndeke Luka, has already been on shortwave, serving the Central African Republic, and now the government station is on to counterbalance it. Tony Rogers in the British TX Club found a Central African press item mentioning the possibility of a relay via Africa No. 1, Gabon. The official entry says it's Issoudun, France. It could be a placeholder for the real site Gabon, suggests Wolfgang Büschel. ZNBC Radio 2 in Zambia appeared on a strange new out-of-band frequency, 4500, first reported by Zacharias Liangas in Greece, December 30th and 31st, news in English at 0400 and again at 2200. That too has since been reported by many others. It's a relatively clear frequency, not parallel to their other service on 4910, and 4500 apparently replaces 6165, which was clashing with Chad. What's the frequency, Glenn? I left one out and wrote a Radio 1258 about Voice of the Eritrean People. Of course, I did enter it on the summary compiled a bit later and posted on our website. In any event, Sundays at 1730 to 1830 via UK, it's on 13690. Dave Koenig, UK, spotted a new clandestine mentioned on the TDP website, the Belgian airtime broker, Voice of Delina, D-E-L-I-N-A. It's for Eritrea, Integrina, Saturdays at 15 to 16 on 15650. He found a website showing an address in Cerritos, California. Wolfgang Büschel in Germany notes that the same frequency, 15650, continues at 1600 with Christian Voice to Nigeria, presumably via Bulgaria. We reported before that Radio Cairo was about to make some major cuts in its external shortwave service. And now Tariq Zeidan in Egypt confirms that according to Al Gamaria newspaper of December 30th, the media minister announced he decided to minimize the languages to only 11 out of the previous 35. Several DXers, including Scott Barber in New Hampshire, report getting a CD-ROM from the Voice of Africa in Libya in reply to a reception report, a no-data letter, but a sharp-looking letterhead, a report form, and a CD-ROM titled Welcome to Libya from the General People's Committee for Tourism. This took 217 days, and there were also some nice stamps on the envelope. Bopan Chakraborty points out that Radio Prague is issuing new QSL cards for 2005, and you can see them all on their website, www.radio.cz. Observer Bulgaria reports an additional frequency for the external service of Radio Belarus since January 1st between 20 and 23 UT, 7440, which is from Minsk, 150 kilowatts beam due west, and remaining on 7105 and 7340. I assume that includes some of those non-daily English broadcasts. In BCL News, Andrea Morgnino in Italy reports finding a Rai website mentioning that they have some land for sale, including that occupied by their shortwave transmitters at Prato Smeraldo near Rome. That gives us an idea of the future of shortwave in Italy. However, Wolfgang Büschel says perhaps they're just planning to move it, the shortwave facility that is, to another site 90 kilometers away. Patrice Privat in France reports to Hardcordiex hearing an Italian-speaking station on 4510 at 1851 December 22nd. What could it be? Well, actually, it's on 4509, says Günter Lawrence in Germany, the third harmonic of an Italian medium-wave station, namely Tele Radio Stereo in Rome, says Michel Lacroix. Also heard in Denmark by Stig Hartvig Nielsen, all the way from 2330 to 0230 UT, with very good reception. There's another Italian pirate on 6310, Radio Malaisi, M-A-L-A-I-S-I, heard at 0100 by Björn Fransson in Sweden. Signing off at 0100, reported by George Marotti in New York. and also as early as 2203 by Rich D'Angelo, Pennsylvania, in the NASA flash sheet. Further is a more interesting station on almost the same frequency, which could cause confusion, measured on 6310.2, a station apparently a Kurdish clandestine, heard by Gunter Lawrence visiting Italy, 1724 to 1920 on December 27th, and then heard by many others, Zaharias Liangas in Greece, reported it at 1547 a couple of days later. Everybody's been trying to pull out an ID. Jari Savolainen in Finland listened on January 3rd at 1358. Sounded like Assad Radio Russia, R-U-S-H-A, could be how it's spelt. Also heard January 4th at 0600. Bear Truth Now in Lithuania says, I think the ID sounds like Azad Radio Roja, R-O-J-A. This could be Kurdish, an important word in the Kurdish identity. It means sun, a central motif in the Kurdish national flag. There is, for example, a Roj, R-O-J-T-V, in Denmark. Radio New Zealand International is on summer vacation, no longer producing its own programming, but just relaying national radio. Its own news and programs to resume January 17th, according to their website. Still, it was very strange to hear Fox Sports Radio, the U.S. network, via its Los Angeles and San Diego affiliates, relayed on RNZI December 23rd around 1500. David Rickwish in Wellington speculates that having the rights from Radio Sport to relay cricket during the day on RNZI has something to do with the broadcasts of Radio Sport at night, which in turn is relaying the American network, perhaps because there's really no one on duty at that station, and there is an ownership connection. The radio network, who own Radio Sport, are themselves 50% owned by Clear Channel and 50% by Rupert Murdoch's news group, who own Fox. David Rickwish also points out that his Radio Heritage Foundation has launched its own website. Check it out, www.radioheritage.net. Lots of historical info about broadcasting in the Pacific. I'm not sure if they've been busted yet or will be busted by Inauguration Day, but a story broke on December 22nd and got national attention, thanks to CNN and the wire services, about a station on 1680 in Washington, D.C., called WSQT. It's a pirate which has been around for a while, or should we call it a political clandestine? Bill Harms forwards the CNN story, which says, they're calling for massive protests in the week leading up to the January 20th inauguration of Bush. It was already heard on the air, identifying as guerrilla radio, WSQT. Ken Kopp also sends the CNN story, which refers to some other related websites, including www.turnyourbackonbush.org and www.redefeatbush.com. Another nearby X-band station, this one with an experimental license, is WD2XXM on 1670, reported by Bill Harms in Maryland, December 31st at 1847. They were broadcasting in IBOC hybrid mode, which means you could hear an ID in analog as well as their transmissions in IBOC. The propagation outlook from Boulder, issued January 4th, solar activity very low to low, geomagnetic field mostly quiet to active with isolated minor storm periods. ANK indices peaking at 15 and 3 January 13th, 20 and 4 on the 18th, 29th and 30th, but dipping to 5 and 2 on January 15th and 16th. Solar flux dropping to 85 January 10th and 11th and peaking at 100 on the 23rd to 25th. Wishing you a great 2005, I'm Glenn Hauser. Concluding World of Radio 1259 and inviting you to hear me again next week.